Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. I am Michael Bayhouse. Welcome to the Trim Radio Network. And I wish you guys would come on over to Trim Radio. Check everything out. We have some great, great programs on there. You know, Stu Shear is on there. Raskella is on there. Tori is on there. We have a whole good lineup that's on there. Peter Kling, Maggie Kling, and we enjoy it. And just great folks that's on there. And we have more stuff that's coming out. So wonderful shows to explore. And we've got some great merchandise and everything that, you know what, if you want to have some merchandise, just come on over to the radio show. And if you want to start doing podcasts, come on over there. Sign up. It's not hard to do. It's real easy to do. We'd love to have you. Anyway, today we are in King James Bible, page 811, and we are on Jeremiah. And we're going to start at Jeremiah 3. God has already commanded Jeremiah to go and to talk to them. He is a prophet. He is telling them exactly what they need to do to change their ways. And they have not changed it. And God has now come back to Jeremiah again because they have not changed it. And we're going to get started here on chapter 3. Like I said, King James Bible, page 811, and it's chapter 3. But try to keep in mind, we're going to look at everything. We're going to go. We're going to stop. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. And anyway, let's get to it.
Jeremiah 3. If a man divorces his wife, and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you now return to me, declares the Lord?
And is he really talking about a man divorcing his wife? Well, if you look at it biblically and everything that's going on, God is talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about the land. Prostitution is used a lot in here, but the prostitution that's being committed in this discussion that he is talking about here is how the Israelites, how Judah, how the Israelites are worshiping other gods, gods that aren't real, that can't save them. They've never been able to save them, be it they're made out of wood, be it they're made out of stone. They have absolutely no meaning. And we've read in other places, Isaiah going through there, you see a man, he takes a piece of wood, he whittles it down. He's making, with cunning work, preparing it and makes this beautiful piece. Then he takes the rest of it and he puts it in a fire and he makes a fire and he says, ah, the fire is warm, the fire is good. And then he cooks on top of it. The wood is nothing. The idol is nothing compared to what we already know is the truth. The truth is one Lord, one sovereign God. So God is comparing, and we know this because he's talking about, is not the land be greatly polluted? But thou return again to me, saith the Lord. You've done corrupted, polluted yourselves, prostituted yourselves. You've corrupted my holy land. You've prostituted yourselves to these idols and to incense burning and everything else. And then you want to come back? Should I take you back? Rightfully, God justly is asking these questions.
Look up to the barren heights and see. Is there any place where you have not been ravished? By the roadside, you sat waiting for lovers, sat like a nomad in the desert. You have defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and no spring rains have fallen. Yet you have the brazen look of a prostitute. You refuse to blush with shame. Have you not just called to me, my father, my friend from my youth? Will you always be angry? Will your wrath continue forever? This is how you talk, but you do all the evil you can.
And that's the problem. They acknowledge God's there the entire time, yet they go back to the same old thing that they're doing, the sinning, the wickedness, And God is saying, you're prostituting yourselves. You're doing this. And they're not changing. And yet when they want to call on God, oh, our old friend, don't be angry with us forever. Yet you're making no changes in your life. And we do this today. Everybody does it. God is not right in front of us. Christ is not right in front of us. So we make the same mistakes and we blow it off as well. You know, I'm a Christian, I'm a spiritual Christian, and God's going to forgive me. But that's not the way it works. God will not forgive us. If we don't regret and we don't ask for forgiveness, if we don't confess our sins, if we don't mourn for the mistakes that we make, and that's what God wants. He looks into our heart. Is he truly mourning? Is he truly regretful for the mistakes that we make? And if we're not doing that, then we are not shining God's light. And as we know, we've read it everywhere, that you don't put a candle under a bed. You put it on a lampstand right there, on a stand there, so that it gives the entire house light. It's the same way with Christ. Christ gave light to the world by truth, by his word, by everything, to save us. They are not doing this here. They're doing the same things, and then they're ready to call God my old friend. Well, that's not much of a friend, is it? And are we much better? No, it's just a different time. But we're exactly the same. We're very ungrateful. We're very stiff-necked, very stubborn. And it's amazing. God has put up with us as long as he should. And we saw in Matthew, Christ became frustrated. How long will I have to put up with you people? It's amazing, you faithless people. And when will we change? So let's move on. Let's get on here.
Reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord.
And you could see God did give Israel a certificate of divorce. He had had enough. That doesn't mean forever. There will always be a seed of David from Jesse. But the bottom line is that in that time, God turned his back for a while until they repent and come back to him. And Judah, in this case, is even worse because Judah saw what Israel was doing and did nothing about it, said nothing about it. So therefore, and going back to all, and you see it all, to the woodworking and to the stones and to the idols, and not turning to him with her whole heart, but friendly, saith the Lord. It's, and God is clear about this. So this is where he's talking about the certificate of divorce, and yet he's talking about the land of Israel, and he's talking about the land of Judah, and how the people have prostituted themselves. Not necessarily man and woman, but that's the example he is using.
The Lord said to me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go, proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever.
And God again is telling them, I am a merciful, loving, graceful God, just come back to me. Tell me, repent. Tell me you acknowledge the things that you've done, because you have to know. That's part of repent, is being able to say, you know what? I made this mistake. And not just walking away. How did you make that mistake? I did this, and it was foolish. It was dumb. It was bad. It's the only way. True repentance, you have to go the whole way. You can't go halfway and just say, okay, I made a mistake, and walk it off. No. How did you make the mistake? Ask for correction and ask for forgiveness for the entire mistake. And that's the problem that we have today, is that we don't do that. And we need to do that. And you know what? There's no shame in that. If you put it out in the open right then and there, it's erased. That's we know it's erased. It's blotted out. Not only did God say it many times in the Old Testament, Christ says it in the New Testament. Christ gave his life so that these things are blotted out. Is Christ really saying anything different than what God said? No. He just did it in fleshly form so that we could see it, because of our own lack of faith, our own lack of hope. It's unbelievable. And it's frustrating, too. And of course, they keep backsliding. They keep going over and over and backsliding. And we know this in verse 12. Go to proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Yeah, I'm angry with you. I'm upset at you. Just like our father was, or our mother was with us when we did stuff. But were they angry forever? No. Hey, listen, they might have been angry with you for a couple of days. And God knows that I've made them angry for a long time. But at the same time, they're our parents. So they love us. They love us unconditionally. And they forgive us. Well, God is doing the same thing here. And yet, they keep doing the same thing wrong. Used to be, when I grew up, you did something wrong, you could count on one or two things. One, your mom was not happy with you. The neighbor would call your mom, because the families were all close in the neighborhood. She'd tell your mom what happened. You'd come home, your mom would let you have it. And then you'd hear, you know, the words that no kid wanted to hear. Wait till your father gets home. Remember those words? Because it usually led down a road to where your dad was taking off the belt and you were getting it. And there was justice there. There was punishment there. Correction there. Be happy about that, because if there's correction there, there is love there. There is forgiveness there, and God is showing them this. The problem is, they don't care. They keep going down the same path over and over and over again, because they have no fear of the Lord. They have no mourning inside them. They don't care. And that's a problem.
Acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree, and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion.
And that is God's holy ground. These are his holy people. You're chosen from him. He brought you out of the land of Egypt. He did all kinds of miracles. 10 different plagues he laid upon Pharaoh. And I mean, it's amazing. And brought you out to the point to where they were giving you their gold, their silver, their goods. They wanted you out because they saw the power of God. They saw it, but you couldn't. And that's all God wants. And when he said, listen, acknowledge thine iniquity. that thou hast transgressed against the Lord. Don't just say, okay, we messed up. No, we messed up. You have to go the full thing. We worshiped other gods. We worshiped idols. We did all these things. Otherwise, you're not confessing your sins. You're only confessing a little bit. And there is nothing that can be hidden from God. Everything will be brought to light. Even the least pen stroke will be brought to light. There is no hiding it. And God says, I will uncover your nakedness. It's for everyone to see. Who wants that? Just ask for forgiveness.
I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. In those days when your numbers have increased greatly in the land, declares the Lord, people will no longer say, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will not be missed, nor will another one be made. At that time, they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather in Jerusalem to honor the name of the Lord. No longer will they follow the stubbornness of their evil hearts. In those days, the people of Judah will join the people of Israel, and together they will come from a northern land to the land I gave your ancestors as an inheritance.
And you notice now what he's talking about with the Ark of the Covenant and everything. Christ is coming. He's letting them know. This is it. This is the final deal for you. I'm giving you my one and only begotten Son. He is coming. And then everyone will come into Zion, into the most holy land, and be together, pray together, and worship one God. And that's the most beautiful thing.
Self said, how gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, have been unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. A cry is heard on the barren heights, the weeping and pleading of the people of Israel, because they have perverted their ways and have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, faithless people. I will cure you of backsliding. Yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. From our youth, shameful gods have consumed the fruit of our ancestors' labor, their flocks and herds, their sons and daughters. Let us lie down in our shame, and let our disgrace cover us. We have sinned against the Lord our God, both we and our ancestors. From our youth till this day, we have not obeyed the Lord our God.
And it's pretty clear. And he's saying, hey, listen, I'm here. All you have to do is come back. If you, Israel, will return, then return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful and just and righteous way, he is the Lord God. Worship him only. That's it. All right, let's move on. We're on Jeremiah 4, page 812, chapter 4.
Jeremiah 4. If you, Israel, will return, then return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just, and righteous way you swear, as surely as the Lord lives, then the nations will invoke blessings by him, and in him they will boast. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done, burn with no one to quench it. Announce in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, sound the trumpet throughout the land. cry aloud and say, gather together. Let us flee to the fortified cities. Raise the signal to go to Zion. Flee for safety without delay. For I am bringing disaster from the north, even terrible destruction. A lion has come out of his lair. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has left his place to lay waste your land. Your towns will lie in ruins without inhabitant. So put on sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned away from us. In that day, declares the Lord, the king and the officials will lose heart, the priests will be horrified, and the prophets will be appalled. Then I said, alas, sovereign Lord, how completely you have deceived this people and Jerusalem by saying, you will have peace when the sword is at our throats. At that time, this people and Jerusalem will be told, a scorching wind from the barren heights and the desert blows toward my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. Look, he advances like the clouds. His chariots come like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us. We are ruined. Jerusalem, wash the evil from your heart and be saved. How long will you harbor wicked thoughts? A voice is announcing from Dan, proclaiming disaster from the hills of Ephraim. Tell this to the nations. Proclaim concerning Jerusalem. A besieging army is coming from a distant land, raising a war cry against the cities of Judah. They surround her like men guarding a field, because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. Your own conduct and actions have brought this on you. This is your punishment. How bitter it is, how it pierces to the heart. Oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent, for I have heard the sound of the trumpet. I have heard the battle cry. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. How long must I see the battle standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark.
And again, there it is, and the earth will mourn. They will regret what, and they should have a long time ago, their actions. And he has told them again, before all this happens, come to me, tell me what you have done, acknowledge it, repent. Otherwise, you're going to see this happening to you, and then you will mourn, because then you'll know that you've had ample opportunities to correct yourselves and have not done it. And therefore, now you are mourning your guilt.
Because I have spoken and will not relent, I have decided and will not turn back. At the sound of horsemen and archers, every town takes to flight. Some go into the thickets, some climb up among the rocks. All the towns are deserted. No one lives in them. What are you doing, you devastated one? Why dress yourself in scarlet and put on jewels of gold? Why highlight your eyes with makeup? You adorn yourself in vain. Your lovers despise you. They want to kill you. I hear a cry, as of a woman in labor, a groan, as of one bearing her first child. the cry of daughter Zion gasping for breath, stretching out her hands and saying, "Alas, I am fainting. My life is given over to murderers." As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be on Jeremiah 3.
And as we're getting to that, the murderers are them. They are doing this to the land. So she is the wife. He is the husband. God is the husband. Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. So everything that they're doing against their land. They're doing against their God. And that is the point that we have gotten to in this. So we're going to jump around here a little bit. And I believe that I like jumping around anymore these days. So we're going to move on. And Judah's curse is definitely because of the broken covenant. So as we get into here, and let's get into Judah's curse. Yep. Had a little error there. But Judah's curse. The word came from Jeremiah, from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded to your fathers in their day, that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, and to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, and said, So be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of the covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested. And hear all the words of the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of the covenant, and do them. I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their own evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal? Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or or a prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. He is turning his back on Jerusalem and Judah. They have set up Asherah poles. They have done all these detestable things and relied on these false gods instead of the one living God that they know exists. And they just feel like we can't follow his rules. Okay, well, then you have to understand there's consequences to that. And those consequences and repercussions are going to come. And the person who can save you from those things is going to turn his ear away from you and not hear you. He's going to ignore you. Do you think that your gods, the Asherah poles, the incense you burn to, the rocks, the wood, and everything else can save you? At that point, no. So now you will have to suffer the consequences and the repercussions. So hopefully that the correction that God is going to do unto you will bring you back to God. We shall see. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of godly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult, and he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee has pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, for which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou shouldest show me their doings. But I was like a lamb, or like an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of of the men of Anioth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not on our not by our hand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anioth, and even the year of their visitation. So you can see everything that is going to happen. And Jeremiah is going to complain to God. We know that's coming up next. his complaint to God. But the thing is that they just don't stop. They don't stop. So the conspiracy against Jeremiah, that's what Antioch's conspiracy was right there. And Jeremiah knows it. So now Jeremiah is going to complain to God. Righteous thou art, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doeth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have not taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me, and thou hast tried my heart toward mine. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the heart and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed and the birds, because he said, they shall not see our last end. Judah wants them out, gone. Dark Jeremiah. Jeremiah wants them out. He wants them gone. They are a wicked people. He sees it. He knows it. And he's like, hey, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Let's get rid of them. How long should the land suffer, your holy ground suffer, because of these detestable people? How long? Yeah, let's get rid of them. And God's reply to Jeremiah, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of the father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, and they have called the multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. And what is he saying there? He's saying that we're not teaching correctly. Number one, the pastors are not in it for God whatsoever. They're in it for themselves. They're greedy. They are evil. They plot evil. And they're defiling his land. They're defiling his church. So he is not happy with them. And let's see here. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus said the Lord against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out of their house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after I have plucked them out, I will return, and I will have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man unto his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. He's making it clear again and again. I'm going to forgive you. But you have to put this in your heart. And when he's saying be diligent about it, he's saying with your whole heart. You have to do it with soul, with spirit, with strength, with mind, everything. Put it in there to know that I am your God. I am the Lord, your God. So you could see, I can see going through the Old Testament, how frustrating it must be, because they keep doing this book after book after book as I read, and I'm like, ugh. They keep doing this. Why? Why did they keep doing this? And then I look at today, and we go out in the streets, and we see, I see things. The people don't care. They beat each other up. They hurt each other. They're abusing their wives. They're abusing their children. They're abusing everything under the sun. They're doing evil. They're plotting to get gain, ill-gotten gain. Their promises aren't worth the air into which the words are uttered. It is an embarrassment. And they have no morals. They have no compassion, no empathy, no sympathy. We have lost that. Here in this part of the world, in our nation, we have lost that. And what do? We set up different idols. We tell our kids, hey, it's okay. There's more than one gender, or two genders. It's male, female, and then God knows you can be all kinds of things. A toaster if you want, or a dog. It's crazy. And God made it clear from the very beginning. No wonder he's angry at us. No wonder he hates us right now. I would abhor us. And then we do as many detestable things as we can do along the way. And we don't care. We don't give it a second thought. Doesn't matter who we hurt. Doesn't even matter why we hurt them, because we don't even know why. We just do it. And God is trying to rid the land of all of this, not just here, but in the entire world. That was the whole point of his son coming, Christ coming, because we can't bridge the gap to be able to see God. We can't do that unless we had Christ. So we have to believe and know that Jesus came. He died. He was crucified. 3 days later, he rose. And we have to know that in our hearts, believe that in our hearts, spread his word, be a light for the rest of the world. And if we do that, and we are a light for the rest of the world, then our gains are incredible. It is forever. It's eternity. If we don't do that, and we get stuck in this temporary thing, and we have more fun here than we don't even think about heaven or anything else or consequences and repercussions, we're not going to be in the book of life. It's that simple. And everything matters. When he says do it diligently, he's talking about, listen, don't do just what you think is wrong or right. You have to be sincere about what you do. You have to acknowledge that the Lord God is our one and only God. You have to acknowledge what his son did, his one and only son did for us, and that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, you can't just go into this half-baked. You can't. You've got to be into this all the way. And you will find your life will have more joy. And the things that happen to you, your testimonies about what you've went through in life, understand those things aren't there to embarrass you. Those things aren't to do that. They're there for the glory of God. How did you overcome? I mean, all of us have been through those things, and all of us have gone through those things. So it's up to us to spread our word on how we handle that with the information that we're given from God. And glorify his name and give him the praise. It's really the only way. There is no other way. And not get stuck on all these things, because these things are just that. They're just things. They're not worth a hoot. They can't save you. They're not going to do anything for you. Maybe they're okay to look at and stuff like that, but they have no power. Only God has power. That's it. Only God can accept praise. Only God can accept glory. It's just that simple. So let's get on. And I think right after Jeremiah is Nahum, which is really cool. I like Nahum. So we're going to skip around here. And we do have one more, the conflict with the false prophets. We are going to have false prophets. There's no doubt. We're seeing it today. We've already got some guy that's walking around and he's claiming that he's Jesus. He's the next Messiah and everything else. And we already know that's not true. So, but it just seems to me that these people, yeah, there's Lamentations. No, we're going to skip around. Ooh, we got Ezekiel though. I do like Ezekiel. But we're seeing these things going on today. And this guy is talking about all these great things he's going to do and everything else. Well, the problem is he's going to do them. Never once is he giving God the glory, God the praise, or anything else. Test the spirits. Test them. Know that they are true. This guy is not true. He is a false prophet. He is trouble. We have seen this before. We know how God is going to come back. We have an idea of what season, but we don't know when. So he tells us, be prepared. I'm coming as a thief in the night. The thing is that he says at one point, though, in a couple of different things, you know how to read the weather. You know how to interpret that, but you can't interpret what I'm saying to you. But you'll know, because in the spring, when the fig leaves are starting to turn and turn green and everything and get soft just before they produce fruit, it's a good indicator. It's a renewing time of year. So the world is going to be renewed. Understand something. It's going to pass away. Heaven is going to pass away. And God is going to restore everything. So I just think we need to spend more time in his word to find peace, to figure out where we're making our mistakes, and at least take a look at them. Be able to look into the mirror, be able to identify what you brought to the table that was an error. I don't care what anybody else does. It doesn't matter. In any relationship that I've had, in any type of situation that I've had, what negativity, what was my mistake that I brought to the table? And how can I better myself from that point on? And that's one of the most humiliating, degrading, and belittling thing I've had to do. But I learned how to do it. And it's taken me a long time to do it. And it doesn't matter. And you know what? Don't go back to those things in the past. Keep the things in the past in the past. There's no need to go back to them. There's no value in it. There's absolutely no value in it. All you've learned from that, you've got that education from it. You've gotten the wisdom out of that. Move forward. Have nothing to do with it. There's no sense in it, because going backwards is just that. Why go backwards? It makes no sense. So listen, with that, guys, we are just about out of time. I think this next week we're going to get into Ezekiel. I like Ezekiel. I love all the books. As I say, all the books are just an incredible part of this gigantic, factual love story. And it's all about God and it's all about Christ. And, you know, I like that. And it's very calming and very peaceful, especially in a very stressful, messed up mind like mine. So I need that. I think that we all need that. I'm pretty convinced in this country and around the world, every one of us should be on some sort of medication. I say that facetiously, but half true. So anyway, with that, I hope you guys have a wonderful week. be good to one another. And you'll notice that we are on Wednesdays from now on in. Tuesdays, we are, it's either going to be Monday or Tuesday, we are going to be doing offsides. We're getting into that time of year, my favorite time of year. I love it. We get into college football. I'm not a pro fan, but I do love college football. It's a lot of fun. But we're getting to that time of year. Fall's right around the corner and all the wonderful time that we get to spend with family, you know, and then Christmas and, you know, then Easter. So from like right here at this time, you know, as soon as we start getting towards September all the way through April, man, that's the greatest time of all. It is absolutely wonderful. And I just enjoy it immensely. Now, I hope you guys enjoy every day, too. Don't forget to thank God for everything. Remember, you own nothing. He owns it all. It's just on loan to us. He's made us responsible for it. You know, so I look at everything that I have every day, and I thank him. And I'm like, thank you for entrusting me to watch over this stuff. Thank you for entrusting me with my life, you know, and or me entrusting you with my life and letting me wake up every day and go to sleep every day. And, you know, God, you're in control of everything. And I am ever so grateful. And thank you for all the blessings. And that's every blessing, good, bad, whatever. Be joyful no matter what, because it's all under God's plan. He's got it figured out. Anyway, take care, guys. Much love. Have a great week, and we will talk next week, same time, 7 o'clock right here on Life Walk with Christ God. And hey, stick around. Stu Scheer is coming on next, and it's not Money and Change. What is that one? Live, Laugh, or Whatever. So anyway, Stu's a hoot. God bless him. He's a good man. Anyway, I hope that, boy, we got 9 comments. Hi, Shelly. How are you? But just don't forget to love God, okay? And everything that you do, don't get mad. Don't get upset. Step back. Take a deep breath. Be gentle in everything you do. Be gentle. That's what Christ wants us to do, especially in today's world where it's almost impossible. Be gentle. Be loving. Be caring. Try to put yourself in their shoes and understand every day we walk amongst, we are the most lonely people in the world, and yet we walk amongst 300 million of our fellow Americans, 330 million, we're walking all around, and we're the loneliest people in the world. And we don't have a clue about each other, but you don't know what they're going through. Maybe they lost somebody. Maybe they're becoming financially destitute. You just don't know. So try to understand that. Don't take it personal. Be gentle in how you approach it, you know, and if trouble is arising, just say, listen, brother, man, come on. Well, you know, that there's a better way. And don't forget to share God's word. Take care, guys. Bye. Thank you.